This morning, I'd like to address the subject of humility and pride. As I say those words, I trust that you have some sort of understanding of what I'm talking about. Have you ever had moments of pride? You ever have moments of when you just thought you were all that, and the reality of the matter was you weren't? I forget where, but and I've shared this with you before. I'll share it again, and you can put up with me. But the definitions I like to use for pride and for humility, and these are very helpful to me, and maybe they will be helpful to you, is pride is believing what is not true about yourself, having a false understanding of who you really are. In other words, you can walk through life, and you can have this facade, this belief that you are someone great, when in reality you are the servant of the Most High God. You are in a humble position and called upon to be submissive to Him. So if that is pride, then what is humility? Humility is understanding and having a right understanding of who you are. Seeing yourself in the proper perspective. Realizing that you do submit to God. That you don't have all the authority like you think you do sometimes. Why pride and humility? Why talk about that today? Well, partly because this is something that I've been just been rattling in my head the past couple of days, this whole subject. This past week, I had an older gentleman, man loves the Lord, pulled me aside and had me sit down beside him. And his words to me were this: don't get a big head. Don't be a man of pride. Watch out. And I don't know what led him to say these words to me. I don't know him very well, but he said them to me in love. I knew he cared about me and loved me, but he felt led to say those things to me. And as I walked away from that conversation, and it wasn't all he said. He said other things, all kindness, all words of encouragement. As I walked away from that conversation, I was overcome with a battle in my heart. And this was the battle. The battle was God, why would he say something like that to me? What's that? I'm just testing you. And then on the flip side, God helped me to be humble. On one side, he had said some kind words to me about my preaching, and I was beginning to believe them. What's that? And on the other side, I was like, God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I mean, this is often like this is when you deal with sin. This is sin, pride. You deal with sin. You have battles, and you come to points in your life where you know there's this temptation to sin, and you know you don't want to go there, and so a battle ensues. And that's what leads us to our subject today. So go to 1 Peter. We're going to start in 1 Peter, but we're going to go to a couple different passages today as we talk about this subject. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This chapter begins by speaking to elders, pastors. They are to feed the flock of God, not to be lords over God's heritage, verse 3, but be examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd that shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So, very clear message to pastors and to elders, the leaders of the church. Verse 5, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Notice the context here. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Listen, he was talking to pastors and elders, overseers, telling them what they were to do. Then he says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, but all of you, be subject one to another. It would be wrong for me as the pastor to assume the position of I am the leader and you are the follower and you are to be subject to me, because that's not what is taught here. There is this matter of subjection unto one another together. You may be, that may sound confusing, because God has ordained leadership in the church. And I don't want to push aside the importance of that leadership and that structure. That is in place for a reason. But what is being addressed is the attitude by which we lead. The attitude by which we follow. Subject one to another. And be clothed with what? What's it say? Clothed with humility. Church, we do well when we put on the clothes of humility. When we realize what's true about ourselves is that we are subject to our great God and King. When it is only by His grace that we have anything to offer another, we do well to be clothed in humility. I guarantee if you are like me in the fact that it is difficult, you find it very difficult to be around someone who is not clothed in humility. You agree with me? Is there any trouble identifying those folks? Let's be careful, not prideful today, right? But I'm just making the point. Listen, being clothed in humility is truly the clothes of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Keep your finger here and go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Many of you are familiar with this passage. This is the passage that highlights and talks to us about Jesus Christ coming to earth. He was fully God, yet fully man. And don't ask me to explain that. All I know is it is true. And it's spoken of in this chapter, Philippians chapter 2. The beginning of the chapter talks about, look at verse 2. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He's talking to believers, to church. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. All right, all of that is important, and he now is going to illustrate that with Jesus Christ. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's because he was God. He is God. But made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now that's stooping low, because God, you can't get any higher than God. And here we have God coming in human flesh, taking upon himself the form of a servant. Now, think about society in those days. The lowest people on the totem pole, the lowest people in society, in the structure, were the servants. And Jesus came as a servant. This is God. And he's a servant. and he is made in the likeness of men. Don't be insulted, but realize something. We are in a low position when we're compared to God. But Jesus came, and he walked among us. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he, what's the word? He what? Jesus, God, humbled himself. Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, God is the giver of life. In fact, he created life. What is God dying for? That's humility, because he's taking upon himself the form of a servant. Who is he serving? He's serving his Father, but do you realize he is serving us? He has served you, for he has taken upon himself to pay the penalty for our sin. Don't get a big head about that. That's nothing to brag about. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The death upon the cross was one of the most vile ways to die. I mean, the Romans, they chose this for their worst of criminals. You were naked. You were exposed to the elements. You were out in front of all the watching people. They would do this in a public place. It was humbling. Now, notice what takes place next. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Who are we talking about? We're talking about that servant, that one who came and humbled himself, that one who died, even the death of the cross. He's exalted. God lifted him up and gave him a name above every name. Now talk about humility and pride. Back in 1 Peter, be clothed with humility. That's the clothing of Jesus Christ. You see, this is important because this next statement, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Listen, dear ones, I don't know what your perspective is of God. I assume that most of you here believe God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. He's completely holy. He's a God of love. He's just. He has an anger against sin. And I could go on and on about who God is. And I trust that you have that perspective of him. But listen, what it just said, God resists the proud. I don't know about you, but I want to be on God's side. I don't want to be facing God and feeling his resistance. God resists the proud. So, therefore, and I trust you're here today, you don't want that either. So, therefore, the important thing for us to think about today is, God, show me when I'm prideful so that I can remedy that situation. Well, how do you do that? God's grace. God gives grace to the humble. Before you were saved, before you had trusted Jesus Christ, you were proud. No matter what situation, status in life you had, you were proud. I was full of pride. I felt I could do it on my own. I didn't need God. It is when we meet Jesus Christ, the one who humbled himself for us, is when we understand grace, and God gives grace unto the humble. Where do you want to be? Feeling God's resistance or experiencing God's grace? Back to my battle. I was battling back and forth following my conversation with this gentleman. And I've been a Christian for a long time. And I've had the privilege of learning and understanding God's word, and I'm growing and maturing just like you are. And verses like these ring in my heart. And praise God, he gives us his word to point out areas of weakness. And so therefore today, the warning is clear. Pay attention to your attitudes. Are you acting in pride, or are you in humility? You've heard the old adage, if you say that you are humble, you no longer are. It's different words, I can't remember what they are, but you get the point. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what's the instruction Peter gives here? Humble yourselves, verse 6, therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Isn't it interesting how it mirrors what happened to Jesus Christ? He was humbled, and God exalted him. And so the command and the instruction for us here is humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now here's a profound truth that it took me a while to understand. I want to obey God. I want to be experiencing God's grace. How do I do that? I believe what helps us to be humble is having a right understanding of God. What's that text say? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the what? What's it say, church? What's it say? Under the mighty hand of God. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was very clear in his description. The mighty hand of God. You and I will walk in humility when we understand that we walk in submission to a mighty God. Mighty. He is mighty in knowledge, mighty in strength, mighty in power, mighty in love, mighty in grace. He's a mighty God. And I tell you, immerse yourself in the study of the Scriptures. You hear pastors say that all the time, and it is for good reason. The Word of God is powerful and living, and it's sharp, and it will pierce into your soul, Hebrews 4:12, and it will illuminate to you who God is. And allow your mind to be taken away with his greatness and with his might. And the result will be humility of heart. Because you don't even stand a chance against the mighty, mighty God. Except for his grace. And again, that's mighty. That grace is so mighty that it took a sinner such as I and has given me life. Life forever with him in heaven. Humility and pride. We need this message, and as we walk in humility, God rewards. You will experience his grace, and you will continue to grow in your understanding of who he is. Rejection of humility and walking in pride you're going to experience the very resistance of God. And yes, He is a mighty God. So what's the next verse? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Watch out, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, did you know that the Bible was put together by God in a specific order for a reason? Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's the mighty God. Don't carry the burden yourself. Why? There's an adversary. He's a roaring lion, and he wants to devour you. Are you experiencing the battle today? Do you feel it? Do you feel the tension between yourself and your flesh and the will of God? Don't give up, believer. Battle on. Let me encourage you, battle on. The battle will not end until the grave, but you stand on the victory side, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God, take these words and these truths, and I pray that you would equip your church. And God, give us grace that we may be humble. Oh God, we have so many aspirations and desires. We want to do great things, but Lord, it doesn't happen by ourselves, by us exalting ourselves, Lord, but it's by us humbling ourselves. Church, take a moment right now, and I just want you to examine your heart. Is it an area that God has highlighted today, an area of pride? Maybe there's a struggle. You're feeling that tension and that back and forth where you want to believe what you think is so great about yourself, but yet on the other side, God is there and He's saying, no, no, humble yourself. I will exalt you. You humble yourself under my mighty hand. Dear believer, choose today to battle on. Battle on. And choose to walk in humility and in the grace of your great God. God, I offer up this to you. You take these moments and use them as you see fit. And have your way in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen.